It's second down and 10 here for the Rams at the 16-yard line on the left hash. Donnelly with the long green sleeves under the gold jersey sends him in motion with his right hand. Schienbein motions across the formation of the right. The pass underneath, caught at the 5. Touchdown! Kyle Morcat! The first touchdown of the season for the Rams on home turf. And then Morcat, exclamation point backflip. And the Rams have the lead once again.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, and we're joined on the phone now by University of Alberta Golden Bear Regina boy, former Miller Marauder, Luke Hornung. How are you today, Luke?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. Kind of weird. Hey, you should be getting ready. Well, you should be in Alberta practicing with the Golden Bears and Chris Morris, but this stupid COVID-19. How is that affecting you mentally, my friend?
Well, I'd say it's more so weird than anything, just because, like you said, right now I should be in Edmonton in training camp and kind of getting ready for the season, but since everything's canceled, I'm kind of just hanging out. But it's definitely weird. This is the first time since I was a little kid that I'm not going to actually be playing any games. It's kind of just an adjusting period, kind of just getting used to how things are going to be for this year, but trying to stay as positive as I can and just work towards the next upcoming season.
So you're making the most of your time, though, as Aubrey Stedman, the dad of Emmett Stedman, who's your old Miller Marauder teammate, he got you guys all together, and you helped a lady named Mrs. Livingstone with a deck. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Aubrey kind of set up actually quite a few opportunities for us. We kind of went out through the community and did a lot of landscaping work for people Aubrey knew, and for this particular situation the yard is pretty beat up, I guess. Mm-hmm. And needed some work done, so we did quite a bit actually. We just cleaned up the yard, we did some work with the trees and the branches and stuff, and replaced some fences and gates around the house, and then we helped tear down the deck and then helped get the new one set up. And yeah, that was kind of all set up through Aubrey, which is really good.
It's a great initiative. And what's cool about it was you and your old Miller Marauder teammates. How awesome was that to not only help out in the community, but still stay in touch with those guys and work on a project that, you know, have that championship feel once again, only helping somebody in the community.
Yeah, for sure. It was really good. It's nice because all of us Miller boys, we still stay in touch and we hang out all the time still. And we're all really good friends, and just to be able to have this opportunity through Aubrey to help out and kind of have a positive Miller like touch on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I know when my son was being recruited by the U of A, one of the things that Chris Morris had said was, you know, we want our guys to be good guys off the field. We want them in the community doing charity stuff, being community leaders. So obviously your new coach will smile upon something like that. But has that always been something that has been near and dear to your heart? Like, do you have that community activism about you?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, even in high school, Steve Sombach, I helped 2 years. I helped coach his son, his younger son's RMS teams. Mm-hmm. And then I've done some volunteer work at the church that I go to and stuff. So mm-hmm. I definitely try and get out in the community and help out where I can. And just kind of give back.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome for sure. It helps be productive with your time in kind of a downtime for sure. Luke, what were the prospects of you playing this year with the Golden Bears before COVID hit? What were the plans for that Chris Morris and Ricky Walters had for you there in Edmonton?
So before all the age stuff happened, our starter was supposed to come back for his final year or whatever. So then it was kind of me and another guy battling behind him. And I mean, there were no, obviously there's nothing set in stone. Like, mm-hmm. this is where you're going to be. Like, it's kind of every day you come in and compete and try and move up in the depth chart. So, it was kind of crappy when everything hit initially in March, because I was very happy with how I was doing in the winter practices and stuff. So,
right.
It would have been nice to see where I could have gone if we continued, but obviously everything happened, and now it's just kind of come in and compete and earn your spot. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be going back to Edmonton early September, and then if everything goes as planned, we'll be practicing a couple times a week. And so, yeah, I'm just going to go in and compete as hard as I can and try and move up in the depth chart.
So you got a feel for the Golden Bears in the winter practices. What kind of team did you think you're going to have going into this season? Because Alberta's been kind of one of those teams that's been knocking on the door. They've done a great job recruiting in the last couple of years. You're part of their last couple of recruiting classes. You know, what kind of feel did you have for the Golden Bears going into this season?
It felt really good. I was really confident with how our team is looking. I would say definitely the past 2 years, our recruiting class has been one of the top in the country. We've had a lot of young studs, a lot of guys pushing to play early, even from my class. Like, there were a lot of first years who were on the field, like special teams and offense, defense. Like, so yeah, I was really, really looking forward to see what we could have done this year. Obviously, it's unfortunate with what happened, but I think we just got to make the most of the opportunity where there is no games, and everyone's just got to stay committed and practice hard. And I think that we have a really bright future if we can all stay.
Luke, what was the most noticeable difference from high school to going to throw the football in those winter practices for you at the U Sports level?
I would say the commitment level, because like there's always that good core group of guys in high school who have the drive and the compete level, and they're always out there giving it their all. But then there's also the kids that are kind of just out there like playing football for something to do. But then when you get to U Sports, everyone wants to be there, obviously. Like, this is what they want to be doing. So everyone's a lot more committed, I'd say, and will do everything that they can to get better. So I think it's like you're getting pushed by everyone around you a lot more.
Mm-hmm. As you look at school, what are you doing in school, Luke? You know, it's student athlete, so we know what you're doing athletic-wise, but what are you taking in school, Luke?
Yeah, so at the U of A, you have to apply. Like, you need to go into general studies and then apply into business, which is what I'm hoping to get into.
Mm-hmm.
So this following year, I have a couple more classes to finish up before I can apply to business, and then hopefully I'll get in to that, and then go from there. So
you picked the U of A. Why did you pick the U of A? How many choices did you have? I mean, you talked about early on in this interview about doing that community service project here in Regina with your Miller friends, and you still stay in touch. Most of your Miller guys either playing for the Rams or going to junior football. So if you didn't go the junior football route, it's because you wanted to get right into university. So I get it. But why did you decide to go to the U of A?
I really like Coach Morris. And I don't know, I just had a really good feeling when I went there.
Right.
I got along with the players well and the coaches, and I felt that at U of A, it would be one of my best chances to go in and compete right away. Because
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of schools that have younger, really talented quarterbacks. And I guess U of A obviously does too, but I felt I could really come in and compete. Academically, this school is one of the top in the country. So getting a degree from the U of A is really good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just felt really confident when I was on my visit there. And Morris is a great guy. And
yeah, I know. My kid's in the same kind of category as you in terms of getting recruited. So that's the one thing we were always told, the tips we were getting, is when you go, picture yourself there. And you, when you know, you know. So I think that's what you're kind of describing there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Luke, congratulations on doing a great thing in the community for Mrs. Livingstone. And looking forward to seeing you on the field in Alberta Golden Bears colors when we get back to the field. Good luck in September working out with the team too, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Daryl from Butcher's Best. We'd like to thank all of our customers for the support over the last 17 years. It's been an awesome chapter in our life, but we are now closing and this is our final week. If you have gift cards to redeem, make sure you get it done by the end of the week because we are closing this Saturday, August 29th. For the last 17 years, Butcher's Best has been known for friendly faces and full counters, and we will continue to our last day. Even though we're closing, keep an eye out for us next summer.
Butcher's Best, 5552 Rochdale Boulevard. And we continue here growing the game with Ballsy. Time now for Ballsy's Pick 6, brought to you by SAS Selects Football, operating out of the Yar Center there in Moose Jaw, building the stars of tomorrow today. Go to their website or to their Facebook page and look into details in their new 7-on-7 league for junior varsity, varsity, and adults. We're joined by Spencer Moore, our special guest, to help me break down Ballsy's Pick 6, our six topical stories of my choosing. So, Spencer, first off, what do you think of the CFL allowing fans to get their name etched on the base of the Grey Cup?
Oh, hey, Baldy. Well, thanks, first of all, for having me. You know what? I was a little conflicted about that. You know, it's something that we as players, we work really hard for, and coaches as well. And, you know, to have a chance to essentially pay to get your name on is something when I first saw, I thought it was a little bit gimmicky. And then I looked into it a little bit more, and I like where the CFL is coming from in terms of, you know, our league is built on our fans, and to give people the opportunity to be, you know, etched in history like some of the greats. I think that it's a cool idea. Obviously, I think it's a small little solution, but, you know, it's taking a step in the right direction. It's trying to grow the game a little bit more, and, you know, I think that there's lots of fans that would love to be a part of that.
What does this league look like in the future to Spencer Moore?
You know what, I think that it starts at home. I think we need to put more of an emphasis on growing the game in Canada. I think that, you know, the CFL 2.0 initiative, it was an ambitious step. I think that with how things have turned out with the whole pandemic and the season being canceled this year, I think that we need to kind of refocus and focus on growing the game within our border. But I'm just not sure, you know, in terms of next year and things like that, it's all going to depend on the situation with the coronavirus and Health Canada and their recommendations. So I'm not really sure, to be honest.
How has this shutdown affected Spencer Moore's thinking?
It's tough. You know what? I've just been trying to stay positive and stay focused on the task at hand. And right now I'm just trying to get myself situated for this offseason. I've been doing back and forth and thinking, you know, if I'm ready to go to my next career or if I want to continue to play, and I'm really leaning heavily towards continuing to play. I think that, you know, I'd like to be able to go out on my own terms. We all know that that's a tough thing to do in this sport or in any professional sport, but hopefully we have a season next year and I can come back and, you know, maybe have one more run at this thing.
So Fernando Tatis Jr. of my favorite team, the Padres, it's 3-0 count. The 3-0 count, he's up 10-3. His team's up 10-3. He hits a grand slam. And for a day there, people were saying, oh, what an idiot. He broke the unwritten rule. I think it's a dumb rule. You get as many stats as you can because it's a bottom line business. What rule don't you like in the CFL, Spencer?
To be honest, and I might catch some flack for this, I don't really like the rouge.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's, you know, it's something that's very uniquely Canadian, but I just don't think that rewarding someone for missing a kick is a good thing. I think that you put the uprights there for a reason, and if you miss that, I don't think you should get on the board. Especially, you know, there's been those wacky situations at the end of the game where they're kicking it back and forth, and I get it, that's good for a laugh and that's good for TV, but, you know, as a player, I don't want to lose a game on someone missing a kick through the end zone, so I don't really like that rule.
A Mike Trout baseball card sold for over $3.9 million. Did you collect cards? Did you collect anything, Spencer?
No, I never collected any cards growing up, you know, except for maybe Pokemon cards or Pogs or whatever it was.
Yeah.
For memorabilia, I guess I got a couple things from our 2013 Grey Cup season, so it was one of the smarter things I did when I was just a young kid. I got everyone to sign a couple things, and I got some stuff hanging in my basement now that I'll hold on for a long time.
Awesome. That's great. Okay, number four on Ballsy's pick six. The Detroit Lions canceled their Tuesday practice in response to that police shooting in Wisconsin of Jacob Blake. Players and members of the coaching staff addressed the media collectively outside their team's facility. The Lions displayed the words, "The world can't go on and we won't be silent," painted across whiteboards. And of course, there's talk the Raptors and the Celtics might boycott game one of their second round series. How do you feel, Spencer, about sports and politics and social justice mixing?
You know what? I think that as professional athletes, we have a platform that people tend to listen a bit more. So I'm not in agreement when people say to leave politics out of sports because, you know, in situations like that, it's not just about politics. It's about social justice and it's about just being doing the right thing. We're all human beings and, you know, we're all trying to do our best, but to sit idly by and let these things happen continuously in the state specifically, I think that if you have a platform, you should use it because you're not going to have it forever. And if people are listening to you because you're a professional athlete, then good. At least someone's listening.
I've asked other guys this question, so I'll ask you this, Spencer. Can we look inside a football locker room for some of the solutions on the outside? Because you guys, you know, you come from different backgrounds, different religions, obviously different skin colors, different countries. You come together, and for X amount of weeks, you guys battle together, put on the same jersey, and go out onto the field and compete as a brotherhood. I think there might be some things I feel we could take from the locker room into teaching people on the outside. Do you agree?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was listening to a podcast a few days ago, and the person had said, I wish everyone could spend a week or two in a football locker room, you know, with a football team, like you said, made up of so many different people from all different backgrounds. I know for myself, I've learned so much about guys, especially in the States. And, yeah, I think that there's tons of lessons that can be learned. It's putting your differences aside for a common goal, and that could translate over to some of the issues that we're dealing with right now, for sure.
You're a black Canadian man. Have you experienced racism here in Canada? Because we say, oh, it's a United States problem, but we'd be naive to think it's a United States problem.
Yeah, you know what, I have for sure. I would definitely say that it would never be to the extent, you know, systematically as it is in the U.S. There's always going to be bad people that say bad things, and, you know, here I've dealt with it on a very, very lower scale. Obviously, in the States, it's a whole nother ball of wax. I think that Canada has their own issues, and, you know, we need to focus on those as well. And it's obviously, I love being Canadian, and I love being in Canada. So I think we're lucky about that. But for sure, it still happens here.
My three favorite players to watch in no particular order, Spencer Moore, are Connor McDavid, the guy I talked about earlier, Fernando Tatis Jr. of the Padres, and Luka Doncic of the Mavs, a 21-year-old stud. Who's your favorite athlete to watch in general right now? And then I'll get you to rank the top three CFLers. But your favorite athlete in general to watch right now is?
You know what? I think I'm partial to a tight end in the NFL, Gary Kittle. The way he plays the game is just unbelievable. He can do everything that you ask of him. He'll block for everybody, and then he'll go down the field and make a big play. So he's someone that I really enjoy watching.
Okay, how about your top three CFL players that you, I don't know if admire is the right word, but you watch them and you respect what they do?
I'm going to keep it within my own team. I think that lots of times guys go up, you know, outside their own team, but we got some good guys on our team. So I'd say it's Vernon Adams Jr., Taylor Loeffler, and Henock Mwamba.
Yeah, talk about Loeffler and what he brings as a Canadian safety, because my kid's actually gone down south and switched positions. He's playing safety, so I know my son used to watch all the receiver videos. Now he's watching safety videos. He's tried to watch some of Loeffler's stuff. What do you like about his play?
Well, you know what? When I played against him when he was in Winnipeg, I didn't like him very much, but then once I played with him, I got to know him and got to see just how smart he was on the field. He's fearless, and he does the right things right on and off the field. So just someone that I admire watching because I like to play with that same fearless mentality that he has, and he definitely demonstrates that when he lays the wood.
Yeah, is that one of the how do you feel about being one of the lesser lights? And I don't mean that disrespectfully because you are a great player and you bring a lot to the table, but you don't play a glamorous position. Like, you're going downfield kamikaze style, making tackles, sacrificing your body. Did you have to grow to like that, or is that something you've always liked to do?
No, that's always been a part of my game. That's how I got in the league. I didn't really play much offensively in university. I was just a special teams guy. So that's how I punched my ticket, and that's just something that I've always loved to do. You know, when I came into the league and I was switched to fullback, I embraced the fact that if you're a Canadian fullback, you're going to be playing special teams until you're done playing. So there's no point in fighting it and just embrace it, and then that's when you can have success playing special teams, especially.
All right, number six on Ballsy's pick six, Lucas Giolito threw the first no-hitter in this pandemic season for the White Sox. What is more impressive to Spencer Moore, a no-hitter or getting a hole-in-one in golf?
I think that a no-hitter is more impressive. I think that that takes a bit more actual skill on that specific day. I think that a hole-in-one is probably harder to do, but I think that there's a lot of luck that goes into a hole-in-one.
I agree 100% with you. That's why I got you on. We've been pretty – I've been agreeing, nodding my head with everything you've been saying for the most part. Okay, I throw one extra in here. I call it the extra point. Messi wants to leave Barcelona for Manchester United. Now, like, I was doing a little research here. This would be like Michael Jordan asking to leave the Bulls, or Connor McDavid asking to leave the Edmonton Oilers, or even Tom Brady back in the day asking to leave the Patriots. He's been there for 20 years since he's 13 years of age. Do you watch soccer, Spencer?
I don't really watch soccer. I only tend to watch when it's World Cup or Euro. Mm-hmm. So I don't really follow soccer too closely.
What sport do you wish you paid more attention to? Because I feel like because it's such a worldly sport, I should pay attention more to soccer. I just can't get into it. And I wish I paid a little. I wish I could love baseball, but I can't even get into it in a 60-game season.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I would love to like baseball a bit more, but just not for me. I think... I don't know. To be honest, I think I'd like to follow NBA a bit closer. I only tend to really tune in during playoffs. I find that that's when it's amped up a bit. Mm-hmm. So maybe I could give that more of a chance, especially in this bubble. It seems like the play's been pretty good in this bubble they got going.
Yeah, and that'll be my last question. We'll throw one more in here. So I guess we'll call this the two-point conversion since it's two extra points. Do you anticipate that this, first of all, are you surprised these bubbles in the NHL and NBA have worked as well as they have? And do you think they'll work right through the whole duration? Or do you think at some point we'll shut down? Like we'll get to game six of the Stanley Cup and there'll be a bunch of sickness or you know, same thing in the NBA. Or do you think we'll get through unscathed?
No, I think that they're going to get through unscathed. I think the way that they've been handling the whole bubble system with the consistent testing, you know, the checking in and checking out of the bubble, it seems like they've had no positive tests for both leagues. So it seems like they're doing it right. And, you know, it's something that I wish we would have given a chance to, but that's neither here nor there now.
Yeah, and do you think that's the – I really think that's going to be the – that's going to be the future of sports here for a while. I really believe that. The only thing is for the CFL, we've talked about this before, me and you. You guys need fans. Like, the bubble doesn't really work for you guys. You're a gate-driven league.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the bubble system would have been good for us for this year because of just the nature of everything. I'm hoping that, you know, next year restrictions are lifted a little bit as we, you know, kind of overcome this thing, and then we can get some fans in there because fans are a huge part of our game, not only monetarily, but just for our passion of this league. So I'd love to have the fans back for sure.
What do you want to do after football? I never asked you that, because here's when I look at Spencer Moore, the stereotype of a fullback slash special teamer is rugged, meat and potatoes, kind of a rockhead. Spencer Moore's a good-looking dude. He's smooth, and he's a good speaker, so you don't fit any of those stereotypes. What do you want to do after football?
Yeah, hopefully I can get into firefighting. I've got an application in at the Hamilton Fire Department, so I'm hoping that that could be my next career. And I think that being a firefighter would be a great way to give back to my community, and then hopefully I can use some of the speaking ability that I have to get out there and maybe be a liaison officer for kids and, you know, teaching kids about fire safety and things like that. So that's hopefully the next goal, but, you know, I'd like to play another year or so and then go from there.
All right, man. Thanks for this. I love having you on, and hopefully we can talk soon again.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, Ballsy.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.